الله الرحمن الرحيم والحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على خاتم الأنبياء والمرسلين حبيب قلوبنا وشفيع ذنوبنا أبي القاسم محمد وعلى آل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. Dear respected audience, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Allah Azza wa Jal says in the Holy Quran, in a chapter that you have heard of and read,
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إذا زلزلت الأرض زلزالها وأخرجت الأرض أثقالها قال الإنسان ما لها يومئذ تحدث أخبارها بأن رب ربك أوحى لها يومئذ تحدث أخبارها بأن ربك أوحى لها يومئذ يصدر الناس أشتاتا ليروا أعمالهم فمن يعمل مثقال ذرة خيرا ومن يعمل مثقال ذرة شرا يره فمن يعمل مثقال ذرة خيرا يره ومن يعمل مثقال ذرة شرا يره صدق الله العلي العظيم. صلوات
Dear brothers and sisters, Allah Azza wa Jal relates to us in the Holy Quran the images, the examples, and the realities of this life, the previous life, and the life to come. The powerful tool Allah Azza wa Jal is using with us is our mind in order for us to grasp what happened, how it is happening now, and what will happen. The imageries in the Holy Quran are amazing. The images that Allah uses in the Holy Quran are amazing. The ideas delivered to us in the Holy Quran considered the key for our salvation, for our future, for our success. And if we decide to ignore it, we made a choice to grab on to our failure. So Allah Azza wa Jal gave you the key. Allah Azza wa Jal presented you the ability to understand all of it. The choice is yours. Allah Azza wa Jal, as a result, says, قَالَ عَذَابِي أُصِيبُ بِهِ مَنْ أَشَاءُ. My punishment shall reach whomever what I will. وَرَحْمَتِي وَسِعَتْ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ. And my mercy has encompassed everything. فَسَأَكْتُبُهَا لِلَّذِينَ يَتَّقُونَ. I will write it therefore for those who are pious. My question to you, when you read a verse like this, عَذَابِي أُصِيبُ بِهِ مَنْ أَشَاءُ, that punishment is not going to reach out to each and every person, only who Allah wills. But His rahmah wasi'at kulla shay. Now, tonight, in our journey of understanding our lives, part of my life and your life is this dunya. But this is the shortest piece of it. What is the longer part? What is the eternal one? It is the hereafter. Between the hereafter and between this world is what we call al-barzakh. Many of us try to understand this world. But one needs to realize, understanding this world is part of realizing the hereafter. It's a continuum. It's nothing disconnected. I don't reset and start from zero after my death. No. My death is just a... death means it's a transition. I go from one round to another round. It doesn't mean I'm done. As a matter of fact, it means I started. Now, what I would like tonight to focus on and try to explore, why does Allah Azza wa Jal talk about adab, punishment? And why is it, at the end of the day, the hereafter, whether it's reward or punishment, there is the word khalidina fiha. Khalidina fiha means what? They are eternal in it. They will spend eternity in it. This brings up many questions to the mind. Many questions. Let me ask you first. Why does Allah punish people? Is it the reason why we punish people? Why do you punish someone? Usually punishment comes out of two reasons. Either for the purpose of disciplining or revenge. Right or wrong? In the matter of disciplining, when I discipline someone in this world, the purpose is what? So he or she can better their behavior and be a better person. Sounds good? But if we're dead, why are we being disciplined when it's done? Think with me here for a second. I discipline someone, I have a child, I try to discipline him or her. Why? Because I want them to change the way they are. But if I know that whatever I discipline is not going to have any effect, would I discipline? Meaning, on the day of judgment, it's done. It's the hereafter. What are you going to change in the human being? As the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam or one of the Imams, he also says, this world, عَمَلٌ بِلَا حِسَابٌ. The hereafter is what? حِسَابٌ بِلَا عَمَلٌ. This world is all work, judgment is not here. But in the hereafter, it is all judgment. There is no more work. So, if there is no work, then why would I be punished, disciplined to change? My discipline is in this world for the purpose of change. So then, we cross this. The purpose of punishment is not discipline in the hereafter. Okay? Let's talk about revenge. Is it because Allah is seeking revenge? What is revenge? Revenge is, at one point in time, I wasn't able, and now I'm able. Right or wrong? Is Allah ever not able? Revenge is for the imperfect. Revenge is for someone who couldn't, and now he could. So Allah Azza wa Jal always could. So the punishment of the Day of Judgment is not because Allah wants to revenge from someone. No. Although, a side note, the word revenge is used sometime, عَزِيزٌ ذُ انْتِقَامٌ, is not as we talk about revenge. When we talk about Allah Azza wa Jal, and we say He used the attribute of revenge, it means that justice is served by Him. Not that He wasn't able and now He is able. So, what is it? Punishment. Allah Azza wa Jal in the Holy Quran says, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, وَمَا تُجْزَوْنَ إِلَّا مَا كُنْتُمْ تَعْمَلُونَ. You will only earn what you were doing. So here, the jaza, the earning, is part, essential of the actual deed and work we do. Meaning what? Give me your undivided attention this tonight, I hope, mentally and intellectually. You should leave with a new thought that will hopefully affect your work. I hope for that. How? Give me your attention for this example. When I take this misbaha and I let it go, what happens to it? Obviously it falls on the ground. When I take this water and let's say I dump it on one of my brothers here, what happens to them? They get... There is a connection, an if and then statement. If it happens, the then has to happen. If A, then B. Meaning if A takes place, B must happen. Right or wrong? Now, B happens if there is nothing to stop it from happening. Let's say I drop the water, but someone puts a piece of cardboard on top of them, then what happens? They don't get wet. Let's say I drop it, but someone grasps onto it, what happens? It doesn't fall. But the falling starts. The dropping of the water starts. But something comes to intervene. Now, when we plant a seed and we put water, what happens? It grows, and when we plant a flower, it blossoms. The flower will blossom. It's an effect. When the sperm and the egg comes together, conception takes place, a child is born. This is part of the being and the structure and the making of these existences. So, we see that for everything, there is an effect. Sometimes when I talk to a person, I can make him cry, I can make him smile. It's an effect of what? My words. Remember in the previous lectures, I said everything has two sides of it, mulk and malakut. The way we see it and the way it is in Allah's knowledge and is connected to Allah Azza wa Jal. Every act, dear brothers and sisters, everything has two sides to it. the size that we see in this world and how it is really in the eyes of Allah Azza wa Jal and on the Day of Judgment. Meaning, a child comes to his mother. He loves his mother. He hugs her. What do we say? We see a child giving love for a mother deserving of that love. What do we say? You're moved, right? You say, oh my God, you're about to cry to see, if you have a soft heart, that is, you see the child and the mother hugging. And your heart moves. The effect of this hugging of the child and the mother is your heart is moved. To the mother, she is overwhelmed with love. To the son, he just loves his mother who carried him for 9 months. In the eyes of Allah, it's heaven. In the eyes of Allah, that hug creates a place for the child in heaven. Now let me ask you, whether the child likes it or not, there's a place in heaven for him. Because of that. At the same time, some people, they walk into the house, some children. You know, they just came back from their school. It's been a long day. What happens? They want food. Who do they expect that they will make the food for them? Mom! Where's the food? There's no salamu alaykum. There's mom! Where's the food? What happens? To the mother, you think a mother likes when her young kid, who she carried for 9 months in her womb, to yell at her and call her in disrespect? It hurts. Listen. The mother's heart being hurt. One, but what does the mother do? She still cooks for him. She still brings the plate for him. She still feeds him. But the mother's heart, what happens to it? Is hurt. The child yelled and screamed at his mother. There is so much. Why do you think children start screaming at their mothers? Children are a product of their environment. Sometimes parents come and tell me, you know, one time I had a situation, the father was telling me, this child of mine, subhanallah, he is so bad. I said, what? He said he yells at his mother. He screams at his mother. I don't know how to discipline him. So I took the child and I started getting close to him, trying to understand what could happen. He told me, Sayyid, when my mother and father talk, I see my mother doesn't listen to my father. But when my father yells at her and beats her up, she listens. So, I decided to do the same thing. Now, who is to be blamed? Of course, the child, when he grows up, is still to be blamed because we learn. But the father is to be blamed. We need to see how we deal with each other at the house. Why? Because when you talk to your wife, to your mother, if you're a father and you have children, the way you talk to your father and mother is the way your son is going to talk to you. The apple doesn't fall far from what? The tree. Watch out. Of course, there are exceptions for this rule. But what I'm saying is, we need to learn. Now, the child yelled at his mother. The mother got hurt. This is what we see in this world. Alam al-mulk. But in Alam al-malakut, what do we see? We see that as soon as that child screamed, raised his voice at his mother, something happened to him on the Day of Judgment and the hereafter. The effect of this screaming and yelling, there's a place for him in hell. It happens automatically. It's nothing, oh let me see, maybe it would. No, I let go, it falls. I drop the water, it drops. I do something wrong and haram, there is the effect of it on the Day of Judgment. Our work right now, there is an embodiment of it on the Day of Judgment. Allah Azza wa Jalla, يَوْمَئِذِ يَصْدُرُ النَّاسُ أَشْتَاتَ. On that day, people will be resurrected in groups for what? لِيُرَوْ أَعْمَالَهُمْ. لِيُرَوْ. So they are shown the reality of what they do. Do you know what this is? It means whatever we do, you and I, now, in every instant of our lives, we are creating our Day of Judgment. We are shaping our hereafter. We are making where we're going to be. So let's go back in our memory now. What have we done? This is serious. If you think this is a walk in the park, you're mistaken. Because right now, examine every instant of your life. Life is not a joke. Some of us don't even think of an effect of our action in this world. How about the hereafter? This is dangerous. The hereafter, dear brothers and sisters, is the making of this world. Is the making of now. That is why Imam Zain al-Abidin alayhi afdhal salatu wa salam, إلهي ظلل على ذنوبي غمام رحمتك وأرسل على عيوبي سحاب رأفتك. The Imam asks Allah Azza wa Jal, all these dhunub of mine, all these things that I have done. Of course, the Imams alayhi salam, they don't have sins. They're teaching us. When they say sins, it's not the imperfections that we have. Because everything becomes imperfect in reference to Allah. But to us, it's the sins that we talk about here. Dear brothers and sisters, Allah says, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, قُوْ أَنفُسَكُمْ وَأَهْلِيكُمْ نَارًا وَقُودُهَا النَّاسُ وَالْحِجَارَةِ. Protect yourselves and your families. The fire, that if fuel is what? نَاسُ وَالْحِجَارَةِ. These rocks and these people. What we do today, it doesn't matter. I want you to leave with this image. Whatever action you make, it creates a reality on the Day of Judgment. Right now, I do good, I فَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ خَيْرًا يَرَى. Whoever does an atom worth of good, what shall see it? وَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ شَرًّا يَرَى. I mentioned this before, let me reiterate it again. We have the saying, time is money. Quranically, time is not money. Time is either reward or punishment. What you create, the effect of it you see. No matter what you do, the effect of it you see. Okay. Prayers, for example. Prayers. What do we see from the prayers? Allahu Akbar, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. We see the ruku', the sujood, the qira'ah, the qiyam, the tashahud, the taslim. We see all these acts. But in reality, prayers, in the eyes of Allah, in the malakut aspect of it, it's like the breeze that puts off the fire that we created. Remember the yelling? See, when the child yelled at his mother, a fire created in hell. When the mother got hurt because of her son, another fire created of hell for him. But when the child goes and kisses his mother's hand and says, I am sorry, it's the breeze putting off the fire. Effect of everything you do. And by the way, I'm not talking to children only here. I'm talking to adults when I talk to them about their mothers. It doesn't matter how old you are. If your mother is alive, go and kiss her hand. Tonight is the night of Lady Khadija alayhi salam, the mother of all the believers. So remember your mother tonight. If your mother is dead, pray for her. Pray and recite the Quran. Give some sadaqah on her behalf. Remember your mother. You think it has no effect? It has an effect. It's like she is alive and she's actually, she'll be so glad that you've done this. Because yes, you never gave hope. You never gave up on changing. And you're helping her not only in this world, in the purgatory life and in the hereafter. Don't ever give up. If you have a mother, go and kiss her forehead, kiss her hand, seek her being pleased with you. You know what's the worst thing? This is a side note here that I see, dear brothers and sisters. Some people, Allah says no matter what, even if your parents are those who tell you don't believe in God, take care of them. Don't believe in what they believe, but take care of them. Yet I see some people claiming to be followers of Ali alayhi salam, yet the way they deal with their parents, أعوذ بالله من شر الشيطان الرجيم. You think Amir al-Mu'min Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salam will even accept you if you're this way? How? Some people don't talk to their parents for a long time. Some people don't care about their parents. You know the worst part is when some people, their parents get old, and what do we do with them now? They try to push them around and get rid of them. وَالْعِيَادِ بِاللَّهِ Do you understand what you're doing? This has dual effects. In this world and in the hereafter. As you're doing this, سيد أعمال, anything you do has an effect even in this world. التوفيق, see, some people say, man, you are lucky. Islamically, there is no, when we look at Islam and the Holy Quran, there is no such thing as luck. There is no such thing as luck. There is such thing called tawfiq. MashaAllah, waffaqakallah. Allah have what? Made you successful. Why? Because one thing you've done, you saw a child in need, you gave him something to make him happy. And tonight, this year, inshallah, at the end of Shahr Ramadan, we have the Eid. And I just saw about participating in making gifts for those, I think what I read, for those who are in need. So you pay a few dirhams. You know the value of this? Someone you don't know, you gave, what's 100 dirhams? What is it? It's nothing. When you bring joy to a needy child, and that needy child is what? Then a smile is brought up to him. Do you know what's the effect of this act? Not only in the hereafter, but in this life also. This effect and the work is essential for all of us to understand. Because this is how we shape our lives, dear brothers and sisters. But the question is this. Some of us ask, why is it that in the Quran Allah says about the kafirin, وَمَا هُمْ بِخَارِجِينَ مِنَ النَّارِ They are never exiting the fire of hell. I mean, when we do the haram, when we do something wrong, you do it for 10 minutes, 5 minutes, 1 minute. Why do we get punished for it for so long? And the kafir, he was a kafir for only 70 years and he died. Why should he be in fire of hell for eternity? Fair question or not? Let's understand this for a second here. When I do something, some acts, I do them, I'm experiencing something new. I'm just trying something. I've never tried it before. Someone says, try to do i'tikaf, for example. I'tikaf is something, okay, I never done it, I want to do it. I want to try it. I want to experience i'tikaf. So I go to the mosque on a certain day and a certain place, a place where I can do the i'tikaf, and I do it. What happened? I experienced i'tikaf. And there is someone does the i'tikaf every single time. There is someone, for example, says on the day, on the morning, I'm going to wake up after Salatul Subh and I will try to read the Quran after the morning prayer until sunrise. I've never done it like this. So let me experience it one time and try it. What do they call that? Someone who is experiencing something. But if someone is doing it every single day, that it becomes what? It is not an experience only. It is part of him and who he is. Meaning, it doesn't matter, tired or not, the person wakes up. Why? Because it became not only a habit, some habits become part of who we are, we cannot even stop them. Right or wrong? When something becomes such a habit that it is part of who we are, in Arabic we use the word malaka. It is part and partial of who we are. It does not separate from us. It does not. For example, a believer, have you ever had a problem when someone presented you with alcohol? No, thank you, I don't. It's normal. I don't care, a million people is looking at you or one person. To you, it become your nature to do what? To reject alcohol. Right or wrong? You don't find it problematic to reject alcohol that way. Why? Because since you were born, your environment, your atmosphere, the people around you, the way you were taught, to you, alcohol is X. There is not even a hope in your mind, your heart, your soul to even taste it. It's done. It's in your nature. Right or wrong? Good. When we are about to backbiting, is it like drinking alcohol? At the end of the day, they're both actions. At the end of the day, they're both things we can and cannot do. At the end of the day, they're both what? Choices for us. Why do you think when it comes to alcohol, we say, no, thank you. But when it comes to backbiting, the funny thing is, we spend an hour backbiting and we say, you know, astaghfirullah, I really hate backbiting. Inshallah, Allah never allows me to backbite. Why is it that we not only do it, we have such a denial of doing it, we reject it, yet we do it? Why this kind of double standard when it comes to two different sins? Why? Because one, in both of them, they became what? Second nature. Backbiting, I see everyone backbiting. I see everyone around me saying things. I see. What happens? It becomes second nature. Our struggle with ourselves is saying no, even though many people are doing it. That's why our thawab, our reward becomes what? Bigger. Better. Now, Allah Azza wa Jal, dear brothers and sisters, when we look at an experience and we look at a habit and when we look at something that became second nature, a habit is less than second nature. Why? A habit you can change a little bit. There is hope. When something becomes second nature, the change becomes so hard, it's never impossible, but it's near impossible. Let me ask you now. We have three stages. What are they? Experience. I experience something. A habit. I do it often, but I can still stop it. And second nature. It is so hard to stop that second nature. When someone, God forbid, you know, as young teenagers, and maybe adults, sometimes we're tempted. Let me give you the example of smoking. Not smoking weed, not smoking drugs, cigarettes. Someone who never smoked cigarettes. And his friend said, come on, try it one time. What he does, he takes a puff. Now, do you think this puff that he took will have an everlasting implication on him? He probably, if he took a puff, he'll probably say, A'udhu Billah, I don't want it anymore. He can let go of it. Why? the athar, the effect of this puff was not so detrimental that it's not going anymore. No. It's like someone wrote on a chalkboard with the chalk. All you did is, like dust, you erased it and it was erased again. Right or wrong? But when something becomes a habit, the effect of the habit, is it the effect of the experience? It's deeper. When you drink Mountain Dew, when you drink Pepsi or Coke, is it easy for you to stop and say, that's it, I'm done? When you drink coffee every day? No. When you smoke, it's very hard. Why? The effect is more lasting. When we look at things that become second nature, they become you. And you become them. So the effect of it is what? Is eternal. Allah Azza wa Jal, when we talk about punishment, and hereafter, punishment is what? Punishment is nothing but the effects of your work. In here you have a habit, you get to be slapped a little bit with the fire of hell, and you're gone. You have a habit, you get teased and you get burned, but then what? You're let go. But when it becomes your malaka and your nature, you chose for it to be everlasting. And that's why when the kafir, his disbelief is his nature, what happens to him? The effects of this nature is what? Is everlasting too. So for him the punishment in hell is what? Everlasting. Allah Azza wa Jal is showing us the effects of our work. And that's why also, the believer, sometimes see Imam Zain al-Abidin alayhi salam, in Dua Abi Hamza al-Thamali, what does he say? وَمَا عَصَيْتُكَ إِذْ عَصَيْتُكُ وَأَنَا بِكَ شَاكَ وَلَا بِنِكَالِكَ جَاحِدْ وَلَا بِعُقُوبَتِكَ مُتَعَرِّضْ وَلَكِنْ سَوَّلَتْ لِي نَفْسِي. This is nothing, believe me God, when I commit a sin, it is not part, the sin is not part of who I am. It's something I slipped and I apologize. I'm sorry. It was what? An experience. We went into it and we got out of it. Khalas, that's it, I'm done. There is in the hadith, we have those who sin, and those who sin the great sins, and there is another third type. It might be a small sin, but they insist on the small sin. Al-musir ala sayya ala dhanb. Those who insist and repeatedly repeat the sin, their sins become what? Like a great sin. Because it's not what you've done, it is who you disobeyed. And who you insistingly disobeyed. Now, Allah Azza wa Jal says though, وَرَحْمَتِي وَسِعَتْ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ. Right or wrong? My mercy encompassed everything. Why not this man? Why not this disbeliever? See, الرَّحْمَةِ, dear brothers and sisters, of our rahmah is different than Allah's rahmah. For me, my rahmah and your rahmah, even if someone killed people, if someone tortured people, if the worst unjust person was captured, when you see him punished, what happens to your heart? If you have some, there's some kind of kindness, some kind of, why? Because it's like, I can't bear see this. This is our, because why? There is riqqa. There is some sort of emotions that is playing in our hearts when we see this. But Allah Azza wa Jal doesn't have these emotions like we do. Allah doesn't have a body that gets interacted with and act outside and oh my God, now I'm... No. Allah Azza wa Jal, His rahmah is giving. Okay? When we looked at Allah Azza wa Jal, who created everything, فَأَحْسَنَ خَلْقَهُ الَّذِي أَحْسَنَ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ خَلَقَهُ, He perfected everything that He created. And then there are two types of mercies. There is mercy that is given to everything and everyone, and there is mercy called the mercy of guidance. That was given to what? To those who chose to be guided. From this, Allah Azza wa Jal, when He gives, as the verse says, مَنْ كَانَ يُرِيدُ الْعَاجِلَةَ عَجَّلْنَا لَهُ فِيهَا, whoever wants al-ajila, Allah Azza wa Jal, ثُمَّ جَعَلْنَا لَهُ جَهَنَّمَ يَصْلَاهَا مَذْمُومًا مَدْحُورًا وَمَنْ أَرَادَ الْآخِرَةَ وَسَعَى لَهَا سَعْيَهَا وَهُوَ مُؤْمِنٌ فَأُولَٰئِكَ كَانَ سَعْيُهُمْ مَشْكُورًا. Look at this last part. وَمَنْ أَرَادَ الْآخِرَةَ, whoever wants the hereafter. وَسَعَى لَهَا, first I want it, then I seek it and go after it. وَهُوَ مُؤْمِنٌ, and he believes in what he's doing. فَأُولَٰئِكَ كَانَ سَعْيُهُمْ مَشْكُورًا. Those will be delivered the result of what they sought. Allah Azza wa Jal gives both parties, gives everyone, believers and disbelievers. But the effects of the act of the believer and the disbeliever obviously is different. Al-Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam says, لماذا يخلد الكفار في النار ويخلد المؤمنون في الجنة? He was asked, why are the believers kept eternally in heavens and the disbelievers kept eternally in hell? You know what he says? لأن الكافر آل على نفسه أن لو بقي في الدنيا لبقي كافر. Because the disbeliever decided for himself that if he would have stayed in this world, what would he have done? He would have stayed as a disbeliever. Some of us will find that our a'mal, our deeds, when we commit a sin and we insist on it, we're deciding to what? To forever be punished for it. That's why, dear brothers and sisters, the month of Shahr Ramadan is the month of revival and change. That's also why the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, مَنْ سَنَّ سُنَّةً حَسَنًا فَلَهُ أَجْرَهَا وَأَجْرَ مَنْ عَمِلَ بِهَا إِلَى يَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ. You start a good sunnah, you have not the hasana of the sunnah alone, but whoever acts on this good deed. وَمَنْ سَنَّ سُنَّةً سَيِّئَةً, and if you start a bad habit, you know, sometimes we see people starting a fashion, a new trend. Sunnah is a trend. There is good trend and there is bad trend. Imagine you start a bad trend. You will get the sayyi'ah for this trend, for making this trend, and whoever follows this trend until the day of judgment. So you better pick and choose what you start. You better pick and choose what you do. Everything has a lasting effect. You make a choice. You create your own hereafter in your own hands. Dear brothers and sisters, this Shahr Ramadan, we seek Allah's mercy and help. يا علام الغيوب يا غفار الذنوب يا ستار العيوب يا كاشف الكروب. O knower of the unseen, O forgiver of the sins, O concealer of defects, O expeller of pain, يا مقلب القلوب يا طبيب القلوب يا منور القلوب. O physician of the heart, O illuminator of the heart, O intimate to the heart. Listen to me very carefully. These three words.
يا طبيب القلوب يا منور القلوب يا أنيس القلوب.
I don't care who you are, where you come from, what have you done. You need that physician to your heart, to our hearts. Someone that would heal it from the illnesses that we gathered all the way in our lives until now. And this Shah Ramadan, the month where everything could be healed, the month that everything can be changed. Why aren't we seeking it? It takes one good intention, it truly from the heart, to suppress and cover everything you've done. Everything. That a breeze that will put off the fire of hell that you created throughout your life. Create your own heaven. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what did he say? In one of the narrations talking about Salman, that الجنّة تشتاق إلى سلمان. He said, verily, Salman هو الجنة. Why? Because his acts and what he does is all illuminating in heaven. Don't say it's impossible for you and I. Why is it impossible? We're just lazy. It is all possible. You have the will, you have the ability, you have the know-how, just do it. Dear brothers and sisters, when we look at the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam, and we look at the times when the revelation started, and we look at someone like Lady Khadija alayha afdal salatu wassalam, and to realize that Jibra'il alayhi salam came with a message to the Prophet, and when the Prophet asked him, he said, حاجدي أن تقرأ على خديجة من الله ومني السلام. Relate the salam from Allah and from me to Khadija alayha salam. And her response, إِنَّ اللَّهَ هُوَ السَّلَامُ مِنْهُ السَّلَامُ وَإِلَيْهِ السَّلَامُ. This tells us a person like Khadija, who was she? She was in a state of mind knowing Allah Azza wa Jal, serving Allah Azza wa Jal. That Lady Khadija alayhi salam was amongst the four best women on earth. Lady Khadija alayhi salam, the Prophet says about her, Wallah ma abdalani Allahu khayran minha. Qad amanat bi idh kafara bi an-nas. وصدقتني إذ كذبني الناس وواستني بمالها إذ حرمني الناس. Look, the Prophet says, Allah never replaced Khadija for me. Why? She was so good to me. She believed me when everyone else didn't. She accepted what I brought when everyone denied. And she helped me with her wealth when everyone refused. We benefit from people like her, like Khadija alayha salam. في الحديث أول من آمن بالنبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم من الرجال علي ومن النساء خديجة. Amongst the first period who believed in the Prophet, from the men were Ali, and from the women was whom? Khadija alayha salam. You know, she was the first woman to pray. And we have so much to talk. It's enough to say, to know that Islam was built and started and erected on two things. What? The sword of Ali and the wealth of Khadija alayhi salam. We talk about Khadija. We talk about Khadija alayhi salam. So much to talk about Khadija. We talk about Khadija when she was with the Prophet, although he was going alone to the ghar, to the cave of Hira, she would go with him. And all of you have been to Jabal al-Nur. It's not a very easy walk. But she had such a belief in the Prophet, not only in her husband, in the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi. The way she believed in him. And they say when Abu Lahab, la'anatullahi alayh, and his wife used to bother the Prophet, used to put things in front of the Prophet, used to try to put so many obstacles to the Prophet. It was Khadija alayhi salam. She would send her helpers to take away things and clean the way for the Prophet. And when they isolated the Prophet and his household, it was Khadija that spent the time, money, put the wealth to help and smuggle the food to the Prophet and his family. And they say on the Day of Judgment, there's a hadith that when Khadija alayhi salam is resurrected on the Day of Judgment, 70,000 angels will be carrying the banners Allahu Akbar, receiving Khadija alayhi salam. But you know, one day, as Quraysh was trying to bother the Prophet, isolate the Prophet, the rumor started that Quraysh killed the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi. Khadija alayhi salam received the message. They say, Khadija alayhi salam, she went looking for Prophet Muhammad. Jibra'il came to the Prophet and said, Ya Rasulallah, Khadija is crying, Malaikatu Sama', the angels of heavens are shedding the tear for the cries of Khadija. Go, go to Khadija. Oh, I wish Lady Khadija, oh, I wish Prophet Muhammad, you were with Hussein and Zainab alayhim as-salam in Karbala. Oh, Lady Khadija, you had Prophet Muhammad come back to you. Oh, Lady Khadija, you had Prophet Muhammad to return to you. But Lady Zainab, they say in the last farewell, Lady Zainab alayha salam stood on top of the hill looking one eye. She was looking at the camp of Hussein where the woman and the children. And another eye was looking at Imam Hussein on his horse fighting. Lady Zainab, on what is known as Tell Zainabi. Go to Karbala with me. Stand with Lady Zainab. Her heart with her beloved brother Hussein. But her mind is also with the children and the woman and Imam Zain al-Abideen. Suddenly Lady Zainab, she doesn't see the warrior Hussein. She sees a cloud of dust looking over. She cannot make anything out of it. The heart of Lady Zainab, where is Hussein? She's asking herself. The cloud of dust settles down. There is no Hussein. The horse is with no warrior. They say, Lady Zainab, with the heart of the sister that loves her brother Hussein,
Lady Zainab started walking down the hill towards Imam Hussein. Dear brothers and sisters, everyone in the battlefield, no one dared to move. They saw Lady Zainab. No, they didn't see Lady Zainab. They saw Fatima. They didn't see Fatima. They saw Ali. The daughter of Fatima and Ali walking into the battlefield. They opened up the way. Lady Zainab sees Imam Hussein laying on the grounds of Karbala. Lady Zainab, they say she sat by Imam Hussein, putting her hand under her head, under his head. She took him closer to her. She cried and she said, "Akhi Hussein, brother Hussein." نور عيني حسين, the light of my eyes حسين, حبيبي حسين, my love حسين, answer me. They say Imam Hussein said nothing. She said, بحق جدنا رسول الله, for the sake of our Prophet Muhammad, answer me. Imam Hussein said nothing. Lady Zainab, hugging him tighter, she said, بحق أبينا علي, answer me. But no word was heard. Lady Zainab holding Imam Hussein, hugging him so tight, she called out, بحق أمنا الزهراء, for the sake of our mother Lady Zahra, answer me, brother Hussein. They say Imam Hussein started saying, أختاه والله لقد قطعتني ياط قلبي. Oh lady, my sister Zainab, you've broken my heart. Go back to the woman and the children. Imagine Lady Zainab walking away from Imam Hussein, leaving him on the land of Karbala. Every step she takes away from Imam Hussein towards the camp. Wa wayla. Oh, Husayna. Yes, Lady Khadija, you had Prophet Muhammad to come back to you. But did Hussein come back to Lady Zainab? She had to take care of the woman and the children. Wa Husayna. Wa Ghariba. وشهيدا غريب حسين شهيد مظلوم حسين everyone غريب. Let us all call him. Let our voices be heard in Karbala tonight. Ghareeb Hussein Shaheed. Louder, Mazloom. شهيد وحسينا و حسينا وحسينا وحسينا. Let us all call him وحسينا وحسينا. Everyone وحسينا وزينبا 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 وزينبا. One last call to Imam Hussein. وحسينا. Everyone وحسينا. Don't you have needs? وحسينا
وغريبا وشهيدا ومظلوما وسيدا وإماما وحسينا. صلوات.
زہرا نے رو رو کر خود جائے میری مادر بسایا خود کو جا کر ہے خود جائے میری مادر کہاں زہرا نے خود جائے ملا داغے جدائی مجھ کو اس سن میں ہزار افسوس شفیع کوئی نہیں سر پر خود جائے میری مادر خود کہاں زہرا در ذرا اٹھ کر کے دیکھو تو میرے بابا کی حالت کو کھڑے روتے ہے ننگے سر خود جائے میری مادر کرے گا کون بالوں میں میری کنگھی محبت میں ہوئی میں اب تو بے مادر خود جائے میری مادر زہرا محبت آپ کی ہرگز نہ بھولیں گی میری اماں ہوا سنسان اب یہ گھر hudaye jaye meri madar. Mother, lutai sa ridolat apni dine haq ki sunnat mein imamola imalai payambar par khudai jaye meri dadar ho. Nero rokar hudaye jaye meri madar kahan zehra. Nero rokar hudaye jaye meri madar. Suratul Barakatil Fatiha.